every once in a while, I find myself in a public school for something like municipal, like a voting thing, an election thing, or when COVID was in full effect, I remember getting a shot there. And I always find myself gravitating toward the chalkboard. I always loved the chalkboard when I was a kid, when I was in school. And it's something that is so, it's such a specific sensation, writing with chalk, erasing the chalk. And I just haven't been around it in so long. You don't actually see it much anymore. I mean, a lot of those buildings that I referenced, they have, you know, markers. There's like whiteboards now. And it's rare. But when you do see a chalkboard, I don't know. I don't know about you, listeners, or you, Christian, but it really brings me back to a very, very specific sensation. I have mixed feelings about the chalkboard. I have obviously didn't like the way my fingers felt when I ran down it. Certain sounds the chalk would make would be screechy and grating on the ears. But there was one of the jobs that we had in class, in the classroom, was that of a chalkboard eraser. And I always loved that job. I loved the completion of it and getting to write whatever you wanted and erasing it right away. And you know, the teacher wouldn't be there. So sometimes I would write silly things that you weren't supposed to, or naughty things even that you weren't supposed to write.
Are you just thinking of The Simpsons?
Yeah. And they would have me write it like 50 times over. And as soon as I was done, I remember dashing out and jumping on my skateboard and skating through Springfield. And I'd see there's old man Mo at his bar.
And when you got caught doing it, you were like, ay, caramba, leave me alone.
And I get home right into the driveway right before my dad just screamed in with his car after working all day at the nuclear power plants.
You know, I have
sit together on the couch, and then something wacky would always happen.
You know, I have a secret to tell you about chalk. It's not a secret, really, but it's a little nugget that I find very useful in my life that you might find useful. Uh-huh. But I'll share it with you after this little cold open.
Oh,
so I want to tease you with that.
What a tease, a chalk tease.
But for now, let's just get into the show.
Okay, I can't wait because I want to know.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream.
You're listening to Life is Short. I am your sufficiently teased, titillated host, Justin Long.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart.
And with me, as always, is my brother, who has this. I can't wait to hear about this. So it's Christian. It's about chalk.
It is. So I do a thing, and I've been doing it for a while now, at least the last couple of years, where, because I also, you don't both have to have fond memories of the chalkboard in grade school, but I...
Well, I also remember using it to when we were playing darts, to write on the dartboard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
You know?
But I do a thing when I'm trying to fall asleep and I can't, and I feel like my head is just full of thoughts that pass through or linger, and I'm trying to get thoughts out of my head, because just the idea of having a clear brain is obviously, it helps you fall asleep or stay asleep.
Yeah.
So I do a thing where I mentally picture my brain as a chalkboard with a bunch of chalk writing on it. And then I do a thing where I just mentally imagine slowly erasing all the words on it. But then what happens after you erase the chalk, remember there's that white film, that residue that remains.
Oh, sure.
So I feel like my brain still has some of the residue of these thoughts. So what I do is I get a big sponge mentally.
A
mental sponge. I wet it and I go and I clean off one row by one row of the residue. And I feel like my thoughts are being erased. The thoughts that are clouding my brain. Isn't that, you should try it sometime.
I will. And it works for you.
Not always, but it tends to, yeah.
I can't believe you haven't gotten into meditation. That's a very meditative thing to do.
Gotten into meditation.
I think you have. It's like you're aware of your thoughts. I mean, that's kind of that's exactly what they're talking about in meditation. You identify the thoughts and you identify them as thoughts, thoughts that will come and go like clouds in the sky or like chalk on a chalkboard.
There you go.
Wow. Well, that's quite... You would love it. 10%.
Oh, a friend of the show, Dan Harris, right?
Dan Harris's, yeah. Yes.
But why are we talking about chalk?
We're talking about this because our guest today has the last name Chalk.
That's simple.
That's simple.
Sometimes the connections are just that simple.
Sorry, I know. Sometimes they're a tad more cerebral And sometimes they're just that low-hanging fruit, and it's that low-hanging chalk. But we have a very talented, very funny actress on the show today. Her name is Sarah Chalk. Many of you may know her. Most of you know her from the hit shows. She's been on a lot of hits. She primarily does hit TV shows.
Yeah, she participates on hits.
Yeah, so she was on Scrubs. She was one of the original cast members, the core cast members of Scrubs, along with a very good friend of the show. I wouldn't say best friend, but very good friend, Donald Faison. She was on Roseanne. She took over for Lisa Gorenson, and she played Becky on Roseanne for many years. So she's no stranger to you, I'm sure, to your TV sets.
And now she's on the hit show.
People don't have TV sets anymore.
No, I don't think you call them sets because they're too flat to be sets. Sets were those big clunky things, right?
Right, yeah. And people don't write with chalk anymore. So I wonder who's listening to this.
And now she is on the hit Netflix show, Firefly Lane, where she plays Katherine Heigl's best friend. It explores a friendship over the course of several decades.
Or as I'm sure she calls her, Katie Heigl.
Yeah, or like Cat Dog or something really familiar.
Hi, Cat High. She's on that show is that show over now?
It just, the second season is now available on Netflix. And,
okay, great.
It's very popular. Every time I go on Netflix, it's like, it's always in the top. It's very popular.
Well, there you go, because it's Sarah Chalk is on it. It must be in her contract that her shows have to be wildly popular.
She only does hits.
So we're going to talk to her about all of those hits and all of those really iconic TV shows she was a part of and life and so much more. Coming up, my conversation with the wonderful Sarah Chalk.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Do, 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 shaboo.
For all the shorties that want voluminous, fanned-out lashes, this ad is for you. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara creates corner-to-corner panoramic lash volume. Their tapered brush catches every single lash, even those pesky corner lashes. You know who you are, corner lashes. With the Panorama Mascara, you'll easily achieve that effortless, false lashes look. It's one of Christian's favorite looks. Plus, it lasts up to 24 hours and is clump and flake resistant. And just when you thought it couldn't get better, it does. The Panorama Mascara is a lot more affordable than other luxe mascaras. And honestly, it probably does a better job. It's affordable, but it's deceptive because it comes in a premium gold luxe packaging. So if you want a mascara that can do it all, volumize, lengthen, and stay put all day, you can buy the Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you be enjoying great tasting dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals that call it home. This is dairy you can feel good about. It's great tasting, high quality organic dairy, ethically sourced from small organic family farms. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop. That's ov.coop.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom, and up we'll meet again.
Do you get to do Rick and Morty at home then?
I do. So sort of a gift of the pandemic was we started off at the beginning where we were at in the recording. We're just doing pickups for the prior season. And so I just took like every duvet and pillow in my son's lower bunk bed and made like the most kind of like dampened sound place I could. And I had, you know, the stack of Harry Potter books with like the computer balancing on top. And they had FedExed us each this little hype mic. And we did the pickups from my son's, you know, bunk bed. But then when we realized, okay, this is like, we're going to have a longer term plan. I did a deep dive on building my own sound booth. And I just learned about like green glue and clips and like double insulating walls. I was going to build this booth. And then I talked to a sound engineer who said, like, if you do it on your own, but you don't have like a real professional installing it, like you're going to get 90% of the way there and you'll never get the full distance. So get one of these.
Oh, how frustrating that would be too.
Right. If it's like pretty good, but not perfect.
Yeah. But it could be, yeah.
So I went to, there's a place in Oregon that builds booths. They ship them up in a crate And then you put them together and it's like a professional sound quality booth.
Oh, that's so good to know. I would love to have that done. That's so cool. So that's where you are. So you have a professional booth.
Yeah, it's got like blue foam. I wanted pink. They said Mariah Carey's the only one who has pink. And that was going to be an extra 4 weeks, which I did not have time-wise.
Oh, wait. So you wanted it because a pink foam would remind me of that insulation in attics that probably had asbestos in it. It was probably made of, I think it was spun glass, wasn't it?
It was spun glass. I actually did want spun glass just to add an element of danger.
Yes, and to keep the kids away. How many kids do you have?
I have two kids.
Uh-huh.
One is 13. My son is 13, and my daughter turns 7 today.
Oh, what are you going to do? Is it like a big, well, you're doing a podcast. Good. You're being.
I said, what would you like for birthday? She said, for you to do Justin Long's podcast. And I
wow.
made it happen.
I'm flattered.
You must have been a little weirded out. Your audience is very wide.
Yeah. Well, no, it's mostly seven, eight. Are they into Rick and Morty? Is the 13-year-old probably really into it?
Okay, so he just turned 13. They're not, I mean, Frankie will play with all of the stuffies or plushies, as they call them in the United States. And she'll be like, you know, she was, I think, 2 when she was playing with them all. And she was like, I'm Mr. Poopy Butthole. And I thought, oh, she goes to preschool next week. I don't know how this is going to go over.
She's going to be a hit. She'll be popular in preschool with all of that. But you might not be with the teachers.
Totally. I'm just trying to make them wait a little bit longer.
Yeah, because there's some wild stuff on Rick. I mean, I love it. It's those scripts you must... Does the one person write them all? It feels like it has such a singular voice.
So it's actually a group of really talented writers. And you know, that's the different part about animations. You actually don't get to spend a lot of time with the writers, you know, as opposed to...
They're so like, imaginative and they're wild.
And the animators too. Like whenever my favorite part is like reading a script, but then seeing the episode, because whatever you imagine in your head when you're reading about these like wild intergalactic battles and sentient alien cloud fart beings.
Jumping through time and the portals.
You kind of get to experience it twice because whatever you picture in your head is nothing like what it ends up looking like.
Oh, that's fun. That's cool. Do people recognize you now just from your voice? I mean, I imagine it's such a popular thing.
Yeah, actually, I just unfortunately tapped somebody's car by accident when it was parked. I was sneaking into it.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, everybody has their superpower, and I consider one of mine parking. I'm like, I can get into that. I can get into that tiny, that's no problem.
Uh-huh.
And I unfortunately did not make it all the way, and I just nicked the just tiniest part of somebody's car. So I left a note. They weren't there. I waited around, and I had to go.
Oh, good for you. That says a lot about you.
Well, I got a napkin. I wrote this note. I was like, I really apologize. I kind of hurt your car a little bit. And here's my number and call me.
How bad a nick was it? It was obvious.
It wasn't that bad. It was like, it definitely was a nick, but it was not terrible. A little more to my car. So
good for you.
When they called, I said, you know, I really apologize. I'm sure this is the last thing you need in your day, but I kind of bumped the back corner of your car. And they were like, is this Tiffany? And I was like, no, it's not Tiffany. And they said, but I recognize your voice. And then they said, I'm going to need your name. And I said, it's Sarah. And they were like, what's your last name? I was like, talking. Oh, that's why I recognize your name, because my kids watch your show. So I think he recognized the Rick and Morty-ness.
Oh my God, that's wild. What was your impetus for getting into it? What was it wanting to be a part of a social thing?
Yeah, I feel like, interestingly enough, maybe both of our failed athletic careers is what allowed us to have our acting careers, in the sense of like, you get so, I don't know, like I look back on grade 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and I can't believe that I just kept trying. And I think I got used to the rejection. Yeah. And so maybe that prepared me for the rejection of auditioning, because the reality was like, all my friends, I was in a group of like, I had like 7 close girlfriends, and all of them were athletic and all of them made every team. So when you'd run to see the list when it was posted, and everybody would run up and it would be like, Jen, Sarah, Tarvis, Nadja, Brie, Emma, like everybody had made the team. And then there was just this, you know, I'd be like, no, it's totally, wiping my eyes, like, it's really cool. I didn't really want it anyways. Like, it's not a big deal. I don't really care. And I was devastated.
Yeah. I have memories of then seeing the list, the sports list, but then the list for school plays, and I didn't get very, I think they would have to kind of cast everybody. So they would create a chorus, even if there was none, or they would create little parts. Like, I did Hamlet when I was a freshman or sophomore. I was the jester who doesn't have any lines, but I could juggle, you know, little things like that. And so I then started getting disappointments from reading the acting list. And but I think you're right. I think that really does fortify. I think that's the best thing for people who are then going to go into this business, because it's as you know, fraught with rejection, and having a little bit of fortitude in that department is probably, it's probably like the best thing.
It's true. Cause I would just, I mean, I wasn't like just going to tryouts. Like I would take the volleyball camp run by, try and prepare for the tryouts. And my neighbors had a basketball hoop, and I'm in like the pouring, freezing rain in Vancouver, like outside practicing every day. And I was like, this is going to be the year. And then finally I went to the coach and I was like, my friends all leave at 2:50 instead of 3 o'clock to get on the bus. I just want to get on the fucking bus. What can I sign up for that nobody is signing up for in track and field? Because I can't make, you know, the A, B, or C relay team.
Yeah.
And he said, race walking and shot put.
Oh.
So I did. And so I was this like tiny kid doing shot put. Not well, but there was just nobody in my school who signed up. So I got to go to the meets and lose, but I got to go on the bus. And then race walking, I found my niche and I actually made it to the provincials in race walking.
Oh my God, how cool. That's such a great story.
Back to my sister and how she got me into acting.
Yeah.
So we did musical theater classes together, and then it switched to an auditioning. Like you had to audition for the class because it was going to become a performing group. So they called our house and they were like, is Natasha there? And they said, you got the lead. And she said, great, what about Sarah? And they were like, yeah, no, we don't want her. And so,
sorry.
We're so sorry. We're so sorry about that. Aww, we're so sorry about it.
You have a little out still. Out. Slight.
Well, yes. When I'm around my Canadians, I definitely say, everyone in the state thinks it's oot and a boot, but it's not. It's out. Out instead
out,
of out.
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 Out. Yeah, instead out. Of out.
Out of the house.
Out of the house. Yes. Out of the house.
Oh, that must have been heartbreaking, Sarah, because you guys are so close in age too, and for her to get the lead.
And they were like, we don't want her. And her best friend got in as well. And she said, then I don't want to do it. And she hung up. So they called back 5 minutes later and they were like, fine, we'll take the sister too. So they let me come. So she was the lead, all the lines. I had no dialogue. I was in a tiger mask with two other tigers in the back, just like moving side to side with our paws up in the air. And I was.
Was it Life of Pi, the musical? What was it? What was the musical?
I don't even remember. I was so young. I just remember I couldn't believe it. I didn't care. I was on stage. I was doing it.
Right.
I was part of the community. I was making friends. I got to go and, you know, be invited to the dance. And so it was, it was kind of what started it.
I'm so moved by that. I just hung up on what your sister did for you. That's such a like loving, loyal thing to do.
Yeah, it was really kind of amazing if you think like
her
and her best friend had both gotten in and she really wanted to do it.
Well, for a teenager to like stay on their ground and have that kind of conviction what an expression of love. That's such a like, are you guys, I hope, are you still close?
Yeah, very, very.
Oh,
very.
Wow.
She has four kids and. And I have two and two of ours are only a couple months apart and they've been in the same class forever and grown up like twins. And,
she's in LA?
No, we were all in Canada.
Oh, you're back in Vancouver now. Oh, how cool. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, God, I want to talk to you about restaurants now because I just loved, I was obsessed with Dynasty, the soup dumpling place on Robson.
Oh my God. So good. So wait, what were you here? Like, what part of the year were you?
I was in. I'm going to forget everything. But I was shooting. We were shooting kind of all over. We were at the studios. There's a studio, like a lot that was really beautiful. I'm forgetting the name of it now.
Is it Brooksbank in North End, or
no?
It's the studios in. There's a bunch of different ones now. I'm trying to think of. Was it Burnaby?
Bridge Studios.
Yeah.
Bridge Studios.
Yeah, Burnaby.
Yes, Burnaby. Yes, in Burnaby. And but then we went. You know, we shot in Whistler for a little bit. We went to
Dream.
Cloverdale.
Yeah.
A beautiful, quaint little town. I just loved it, but the food there. God, I found on my last day, second last day, I went to
Ask
for Luigi. Oh
well,
boy,
it's unbelievable. It's the best. It's the best. It's pasta, as you'd say in Canada. Pasta in the state. It's the best.
Pasta. They say pasta.
They say pasta. They say drama.
Well, I didn't
drama.
Know that.
Pasta.
Drama. Oh yeah, drama.
Drama school.
I missed Vancouver. I really loved it. I loved the people. Everyone was so friendly. And I imagine, you know, you're such a recognizable person. People, the way they approach you, I mean, this is very insider baseball and probably not going to be interesting to people, but how do people approach you in Vancouver as opposed to elsewhere? Is it, do you sense a difference?
I feel like it's actually kind of similar. I feel like people are pretty respectful in both, has been my experience.
Yeah.
I feel like, I think for me, it's more, you know, normally I am in my sweats and I don't wear makeup. And I find the difference is the difference is brushing my hair. Like come from a work thing and I'm ready to pick my kids up or I'm ready to do something, I'll get recognized way more. If I don't, then I can kind of fly under the radar.
And then once in a while, you know, if you need some sort of like ego boost, you put on, you brush your hair. Hey, scrubs.
My kids always make so much fun of me because I'll have like a pony, like I'll just shove my hair. It's like a ponytail on top of my head. And then it somehow just like the weight of it migrates to the side. So it ends up being this like weird 80s, like side bun, messy ponytail situation here.
Yeah.
And like,
I do remember when that was popular.
Yeah. It's kind of,
It is like Saved by the Bell. Like, I feel like the girls on Saved by the Bell had that hair.
Yeah. I'm pretty much, that's my hair. You can imagine it.
Yeah.
They're kind of at an age now where it's just, it's so fun when they start to just, they both have incredible senses of humor and they just make so much fun of me. And so they were doing an impression of me last night of me. And it involved, I got sprayed by a skunk at very close range. So I get styes in my eye. And And so my daughter was like doing this impression of me with the hot compress on my eye with the side bun ponytail going over to the edge. It's just like, and I always voice auto text with dot, dot, dot instead of typing. So I'll be like, the hockey equipment's in the garage, dot, dot, dot. And so she did this. She's, you know, was six last night. She's seven this morning. And she's doing this entire comedy sketch of me and how ridiculous I was soaking my eyes.
It's got to be a weird combination of like, my daughter's making fun of me, but also pride. I mean, there must be pride.
I was out of my body with pride.
Just
the tiny shit that she had noticed and picked up
on.
And she was smushing it all together in this.
How funny.
In this like sketch. It was so funny.
Well, wait a minute. How did you get sprayed in the face?
I think I'm the only person in history that's been sprayed this close, because when would you find yourself half a foot from a skunk spraying asshole? Well, you wouldn't.
Exactly. Unless you were a skunk proctologist or something, but I don't know that those exist.
I wonder if they do.
Well, how did you happen upon the skunk's asshole?
So I was in my backyard reading a script, and it was in the evening, and my dog ran by in my backyard behind another fluffy thing, and I was like, two fluffy things.
Shit.
I only have one fluffy thing. And like an idiot, I'm kind of like in a seated position and I leaned around the corner from a seated position. So I was a little bit like almost skunk butt level height.
Oh,
and I leaned around the corner and I don't know to this day if it was my dog or the skunk that had made this screeching, high-pitched screeching sound as they ran by. And so by the time I look around the corner, I'm not exaggerating one bit, I like this and I'm like, and there's a skunk.
Oh my God, Sarah's miming.
Look at this.
She's mouth agape, of course, because you're like, what's going on? And the skunk just unleashed.
But it was mid unleashed. And apparently, talk about deep dives. I know everything about skunks at this point. And
you took a bullet for your dog.
Oh, my dog was also being sprayed because the spray is so much, and skunks can release spray. Dependent on the amount of threat, they increase the amount of spray. So because my dog and I are both there, like we got a big dose of it, I'm guessing.
And it's just unloaded.
Just unloaded. And you might in your mind think like it's a misty mist. So what it actually is it's a thick yellow
like
oil.
Like a perfume spray. Like the ladies in the mall who were like, would you like to try this?
Like Santal. It's a little Lalabo. Yeah. Just kind of like, no.
Chanel number five.
Number five. Skunk edition.
Oh, and what is it really? I mean, what does it feel like?
It's a thick yellow oil.
Oh.
So mouth agape, my eyes and my mouth are filling. And
I'll get through.
And instead of like moving quickly, I stayed there for like a half a second too long to oh my God, this is actually happening right now.
Of course, you're processing it. Your brain.
You can't take it in.
Yes. It hasn't, the synapses haven't fired fast enough to get to to power walk out of there.
Totally. Like if I had turned and used my skills from grade 10 and just power, I would have been fine. Instead, mouth agape.
I'm imagining you turning into it. And especially if you just saw a furry thing, you have no idea. Oh, yeah. You have no idea what it is.
And then tails up, mid-spray, into my mouth and my eyes. It's like being tear gassed. So I go to the sink to start rinsing my eyeballs out. And meanwhile, the one thing you're never allowed to do for anybody listening to your show who this happens to, their dog, it will never happen to them because nobody's going to find themselves half a foot from a
probably
skunk
not.
Spraying asshole.
Probably not. Yeah, maybe. By the way, if anyone's ever been sprayed, if anyone's ever been like face to ass with a skunk, please write in. Please, because you're the first. I've never heard of such a thing.
Neither have I. Since I've heard of people
so
saying,
congratulations.
Like, it's really not the like I'd rather have like, you know, the relay team award or trophy. I have no trophies. I just have this is my one achievement.
But you know what? You win the relay and okay, you get a trophy. You get sprayed in the face by a
dies
skunk.
For life.
And great story.
And a great story. But that's the thing.
Great story.
And you know that like as an actor, it's happening to you. And as it's happening, you're like, this is going to be great. Like it's terrible.
So what do you do? I mean, so you're now processing what happened. Your brain is now has determined that it's a skunk and you have all this I can't believe it's this oily,
it's
yellow.
It's thick yellow oil. And the reason that I know that, other than all of my, you know, deep dive skunk research since, is that my dog ran through every room in the house trying to get the oil off of her.
Oh, and he's rubbing
it. I was rinsing my eyes. And you don't even have to rub as a dog. You just have to wander through. So to any of your listeners, if it ever happens, the one thing you have to do is not let the pet in the house. You have to clean them thoroughly outside the house before they come in. Because what ended up happening was, imagine every single, even the closed closet doors, every drawer inside a closed closet door, everything reeked of skunk. That's how pervasive this oil is. And there was a giant yellow, huge circle on my bed. And I thought maybe Sadie had gotten upset and had peed. It was a yellow oil just stain from her rubbing her body on it. So I'm rinsing
God.
My eyes out.
And so you're not even witnessing all of this. You're just taking care of your own.
I'm just like rinsing my eyes off.
Skunk oil.
I got one sleeping kid, one awake kid. I take Sadie outside and I wash the two of us from 9 p.m. till 1 in the morning over and over and over again.
With tomato juice or?
So people do that, but the most thorough one, it's like this hydrogen peroxide, baking soda, Dawn dish soap concoction.
Oh my God.
And so my sister, I called her and I was like, oh my God, she has a friend whose dog's been skunked a bunch. She called them. They said, here's the concoction.
Skunked.
She goes and
you just got skunked.
Totally.
It's a funny verb.
It is such, unfortunately, like a verb that is so part of my vocabulary now. So then
I bet.
She goes and picks up the stuff for me and she's at the store that's miles away and she could smell it. Like that's how, you know, much this skunk smell. And so what started was this process of every single thing in my house went into my backyard. It was June. So luckily, you know, the weather, the sun helps. But imagine the level to which you'd Marie Kondo your home. If every single item you pick up, you went, does this spark enough joy that I put it in the vinegar bath and then the tide soaking bath and then
right.
Is
it worth
air
it
out for 7 days? Most of it, the answer is no. So we started from scratch.
Probably a blessing.
It was.
But probably, yeah. Wow.
We got rid of
most
things.
You must have just cleared it out, just cleared it all. Wow.
Yeah. Area rugs, mattresses, like it was in everything.
Afterwards, are you left with, were there things that were like precious to the kids? Were there things that were, what were some of the things that you like, oh, I just have to save this?
So there are things to this day, and this was almost 2 years ago now. There are things to this day that my daughter will be like, where did, you know, she had a huge unicorn that she named Eugene because she named it Eugene. And then she's like, wait, it should be Eugene because it's a huge Eugene. So she has like a little Eugene unicorn
funny.
And then a Eugene. Where's Eugene going?
Yeah.
I'm always like, I don't know. I'm trying to remember. Maybe we left it at like, and there's definitely things that in the skunking, like it was just like gone. We did
Eugene
not talk
had
about
to go.
It.
Yeah.
Yes. But I, you know, or had to replace mostly
That's
the
wild.
Things that I miss the most would be like, not getting styes, whatever the oil did, like I get styes easier. So if I'm working,
really?
Your eye styes. Yeah, yeah.
God. And so every time you're probably, there's probably some Pavlovian, you probably smell. Also the smell now, I would imagine you're like traumatized from the smell. Because when I go by a skunk, it's like a beautiful summer night. And I always think like, I kind of like the smell of skunk, you know, when it's distant
yeah,
and
same.
Like just wafting with jasmine and nighttime smells. But like, you must be traumatized.
Oh, completely, 100%. It used to be exactly what you're explaining. Like, it's a little bit novel. You don't smell it often, and you're like, oh, there it is. And I think, yeah, like, is there anything?
It's just like an ingredient in a summer potpourri.
Yeah, and just exactly. It's sort of, it signifies summer and joy. And is there anything cuter than a baby fucking skunk? You know, like, all of it. And then now that's gone. And like, someone got me a stuffed, like a skunk toy, like a plushie skunk, and I can't, it's nothing funny about it to me at all. I live in fear now of my dog getting sprayed again, because she smelled for 3 months. It goes into their skin, and no matter how many times you bathe them, it's just it doesn't cut. Every time they get wet, which is frequently in Vancouver when it rains, the second it rains, it's all of a sudden, it's like they've just freshly been skunked.
Oh, that's terrible.
It's like the gift that keeps on giving.
Yes, yeah.
Hiring? Well, with Indeed, your search is over. Because you can get rid of the search and just match. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. That's because Indeed leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day. It's constantly learning from your preferences. Basically, the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/long. Just go to Indeed.com/long right now and support the show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/long. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Want to hear a really satisfying sound? Here it is. That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language this year, it'll be one of your favorite sounds too. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. With Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons that are handcrafted by over 200 language experts, you can start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. I've been loving learning Spanish because I love traveling to Spanish-speaking countries, and I just want to be better at communicating with the people. I love the people there, and I want to be able to get to know them better. I also love the food, so I'd like to be better at ordering food so I don't order the wrong thing. They teach you very practical, real-world language skills. And here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/long. Get 55% off at babbel.com/long, spelled babbel.com/long. Rules and restrictions may apply. Hello, hello again. Do you harbor ambitions to be on TV and, you know, be known and all of those trappings? Was that something you thought about?
No, because it kind of caught me a bit off guard, because what happened was I'm, you know, in the tiger mask doing the musical theater, you know, playing with my sister, and kind of just doing musical theater till I was told that I couldn't sing, and I was devastated and realized overnight I was never going to be at Panina Les Mis. But then that was Mrs. McKinnon.
Who told you that? Who told you you couldn't sing?
Mrs. McKinnon.
Oh, boy. Okay, shout out. Let's do it. What's the opposite of it? Are shout outs always positive? I guess so. What's a negative shout out? Or is it positive because Mrs. McKinnon saved you a lot of time trying to do something that you weren't capable of doing?
It's not positive. It's not, okay. It's not positive.
Okay. We're sorry,
give
Mrs. McKinnon.
Opposite of a shout out to Mrs. McKinnon for telling my sister and I to mouth the words in a Christmas carols in a mall, just chalk girls, both of us chalk girls, just mouth the words, just singing to our grandmother, just mouth the words. So I would say that it kind of the whole thing, you know, I was enjoying kind of doing like little things here. And then I got this agent and, you know, there's stuff shooting in Vancouver, but I'd play like the kid answering the phone in the movie of the week, you know, so I'd be like, mom, yeah, phone, dad, phone. And that was like the extent of my experience when I
that's pretty good.
Auditioned for the Roseanne show.
Yeah, so, I believe that.
It was pretty good, right?
We should get the phone girl. If there's any time a phone needs answering by a random person.
Totally.
Yeah, she can do all different relatives. Uncle, phone.
she's definitely better at uncle than mom, because mom, she's going to say mom in the Canadian way and have to really practice
for mom. Oh, yeah, that's funny. And they would tell you that?
Oh, yeah. Like when I got the job on the Roseanne show, I got sent to this woman's house once a week to say house instead of house.
house? Oh, I bet. That's interesting. You got sent to another house?
I got sent to another house to learn to say house.
Just to learn. Wow, that's interesting.
To say about.
And yeah. Oh, okay. So that was, how did that come to be? Was that just, was it a show that you had been watching before? Because I know Lisey Gorenz. I know Lisey and I went to college together.
Oh my God, no way.
So I know her a
that's
little
really
bit.
Cool.
Yeah, she was the girl. So when she left the show to go to college, she was, you know, obviously very known by everybody as Becky.
Yeah. So that's when she went there, that's when I got the audition. And so, you know, it wasn't something where I had even, I loved acting and I loved it, but it wasn't even something where I had been like, okay, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. But I,
oh, really?
But I was, because I was 16, I was in grade 11 when I got the audition, and I was 17 when I started. And so,
oh my God, you know, oh wow.
It was like I had done barely anything. And then that was the number one show on television at the time when there weren't that many channels and there weren't that many
yeah.
shows. And so it was
oh,
kind
yeah.
of going from like just overnight. So to your question about like, was it something that you wanted or had thought about? I hadn't. And so what ended up happening for me was it was obviously such a huge gift and I'm so grateful to it. And I learned so much and it was like the zoom out picture is I'm so grateful. The hard part was the overnight, like just being recognized. I wasn't comfortable with that piece of it and I didn't understand it. And I felt like it was at an age where I was in grade 12 and then I was starting college the next year and you kind of just want to blend. Like you do
yes.
not want to be sticking out and you do not want to get recognized and you do not like that piece of it I found really challenging.
Yeah. Blanket celebrity. That must have been really confusing.
It was definitely a piece of it. And I didn't, you know, when I moved to LA full time, I was 24 and I moved there with my best friend and that's when I got Scrubs and I loved it. But when I was 17 and commuting back and forth, I found
from Vancouver.
I found that piece of it was just kind of like, you know, from the moment that I auditioned, like it was me and six other girls, it was seven of us. And they had us all in matching Becky shirts and they did our hair and makeup and they had us on the set with a laugh track. And
it was a Becky off.
Directors calling out camera numbers to see if you could kind of focus while all this stuff was happening.
And you're around them. Are you all kind of auditioning together?
No, we were one after the other, but we did kind of, you're on the lot and you're kind of in between. And they were all 21 and living in Los Angeles. And I was, you know, 16 and living in Canada. Didn't really have any clue. Probably why I got the job, because I didn't really have a clue.
Probably. Yeah.
But
I bet that was an asset. Did you study? Did you watch? I mean, I'm sure you watched Lisey play the part and had seen the show, but how familiar were you with it? And did they make you kind of familiarize yourself with it more?
You know, I was familiar-ish, but not as much as I probably should have been. But I think there was just like, even once I got the part, there was just certain pieces of it where like, you know, people would come up to me and say like, just the way you guys walk or the way you move, it's just the same. And so it was probably a similar vibe there. You know, I remember auditioning and they said, we'll let you know in 7 days. And then they were like, we want you to come back tomorrow and audition with Roseanne. There's going to be down to four of you. And then I went back to Canada and Tom Arnold called me at home and was like, what about college? Are you going to go to college? Because Lisey and Sarah had both left to go to college. And I was like, no, I don't want to go to college. And I did, but I knew that I would put that second to the show. So if I ever did get it, that I would either go to college after or on the side or whatever, I would kind of show my focus. So,
that's so interesting. That makes sense that they were like, and I can only imagine Tom Arnold, how intense you going to college. You know, you have to say, you can't say yes. College is my, that's the focal point. And you have to.
I was just like, no, I don't care about college. And then because I was the only one who was still in high school. All the other girls they were auditioning they'd already made the choice and they were already living in LA and they were doing it. And
of course, you can't lose another Becky then. They were probably like a little squirrely about that. Like how many Beckys can we? You can't have a new Becky every year.
No, totally. So
then
they gave me the part. They called and they said, it's yours. And then something interesting happened.
Who called you? Who said that?
I don't remember who called me to say I got the part. It might even have come through my Vancouver agent that I found out that I got it.
With Roseanne, when you did read with Roseanne, did you have a sense that she liked you, there was chemistry?
So,
did you have a positive feeling?
The first audition 7 days before was with Glenn Quinn, who played Mark and who was amazing. And he was 24 and Irish and gorgeous. And the whole scene was like making out with him. And I was 16. And I was like, how am I going to remember one fucking line? Because it was like, baby, baby, come here. I'm like, get a job at the gas station. He's like, baby, come here. I'm like, get a job at the gas station. And I was like, he's so dreamy. How am I going to remember how to speak? And so he was so kind. He was so great and so talented. And so then that was with him. And then with Roseanne, and so sad. Yeah. Yeah. Such an awful. He was just such a neat person too. I feel so lucky.
I heard. I mean, people spoke so glowingly of him.
He was a really special person. And then with Roseanne, I just remember her. We did the scene on the couch, that like infamous couch with the blanket. And
oh, it's crazy. That couch. Because I did a couple episodes of The Conners, and I took so many fucking pictures on that couch.
You can.
Oh, just because it's, you know, it's so iconic. It's so strange to be. You would think a ratty old couch could hold so much excitement, I guess.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. So I was doing the scene with her on the couch, and she said, how old are you after we did the scene? And I said, I'm 16. And she was like, no, how old are you really? And I was like, I'm 16. Like the thought of lying about my age would never have occurred to me. And I think they thought I was a lot older, but I was 16. And so I think that's why the phone call came later about like, are you going to go to college? So anyways, when I got the part, I went to a party that night. And obviously that sounds ridiculous. Like if you're in grade 11 in Vancouver and the number one show is Roseanne, and you said, like, I told a couple people, I was just excited. And I was like, I'm going to be Becky. And that didn't even make sense. Like it sounded like the biggest lie of all time.
It does.
It just feels so
weird.
Does. Like it's like saying, like, but no, there already is a person who's Becky. Like that doesn't even make
sense. Yeah, no. It's like
sense.
If I had said, I'm going to be Joe Montana. I'm going to be the quarterback for the 49ers.
Totally. But Joe Montana is Joe Montana. So
yeah,
like,
I know. I'm going to be Roseanne. I'm actually going to.
Totally. So it made no sense.
They must have thought you'd lost your mind. Yeah.
It did. And it spread around our high school like by Monday morning. And then on Tuesday, I got a phone call saying, we're getting cold feet about by switching out Becky. So if we do it, it's going to be you, but we're going to put you on hold for 4 months and we're going to tell you in August. So I was like, oh my God, my ass is going to be crass at school if this does not happen.
Yeah.
I'm going to sound like we'd had gone to elementary school with somebody who lied about being on the Mini Pops. Do you know what the Mini Pops are?
No.
You can imagine what the Mini Pops are. It's like this cool kid band that sing covers of actual 80s songs. And
it's like Canadian Menudo.
It's totally.
Yeah. Menudo. Meh. I don't know. I'm trying to think
of the Canadian pronunciation of Menudo.
Menudo.
So I was like, oh my God.
Also, I even heard ass is going to be grass. For our younger listeners, ass is going to be grass was an expression that we often used in the 80s and 90s to suggest that we were going to be in trouble.
Yes.
That we were going to be socially ostracized. Yeah.
This is what was going to happen to me, is I was going to be socially ostracized for the rest of my high school career.
In case you took that literally, that her ass was going to turn into some kind of...
Yes.
Law. That's, of course, so then you have 4 months of like, I'm potentially going to be not only a liar, but like a weird liar.
A really weird liar. And off the heels of this kid in grade 7 having lied about being on the Mini Pops, and then she never was.
Oh, right.
That for some reason was like really stuck in my head. Was like,
I bet.
This is going to be Mini Pops 2.0.
I bet. And she was shamed. I'm sure she was publicly shamed.
I don't remember because I can't remember what happened when everybody found out she wasn't on the Mini Pops, but... But, you know, it just, this would have been such a big, huge, weird, bizarre thing to lie about. So then I got the call 4 months later. They were like, I think it was like, we're going to give you $10,000 to be on hold for 4 months. And obviously that was insane to me. I was like, why are you going to give me, I'm not doing anything, but worrying, but stressing about my social
experience.
Career.
Exactly. And it's worth probably about $10,000. It's like, okay, well, I'll be a pariah. I'll be a social pariah, but I'll have $10,000. That's funny.
So then I found out that they were like, you know, in August, they were like, okay, so we are going to do it and it is going to be you and, you know, come down.
Wow.
Here.
That's wild. That's cool. And you did it for many years, right?
I did. And I loved it. I mean, it was, you know, it was challenging because obviously, everyone on that show was so talented and so good. Mm-hmm. And I would just like get to watch
what great
them
training
work.
Ground.
Oh my God. I would just like watch like just mouth agape as if you were getting sprayed by a skunk in the face. That agape. Yes, that's the level of agape that my jaw was when I was watching like Laurie Metcalf work and Sandra Bernhardt and everybody.
Yes. Yeah, I felt the same. My mouth was similarly agape when I just watching Laurie Metcalf. I got to be in a few scenes with her and she's just what a dynamic, like, presence. What a just presence.
Yes.
Just so fucking good. And John, they all are. I mean, I have to ask you about Scrubs, too, because that is something. I know Donald Faison quite well. Donald's a good buddy.
He's
and
the best.
You're the best. The best. I would love any Donald stories you can dig up. But I just know how beloved that show is because I got to be, we did a play together and I got to spend a lot of time around him and I saw him out in the world. And so I saw the way people responded to him, how much they loved that show. I know it was such a big experience to encapsulate in one story or whatever, but what was it like? How much did that show change your life? And what was the fallout from that? I mean, just being out in the world.
I think that, you know, when you say, how did that show change your life? It probably changed. I mean, it changed my life more than any other job I had because it you know, I was 24 when I got it and I did it until 32 years old. And so it was my 20s and it was, you know, it was my, I learned everything. I learned so much. I mean, Bill Lawrence, who created it, like he's more involved than any other showrunner in the sense that like he comes to set every rehearsal for all of those seasons. And he gives you tweaks and he gives you ideas and he says like, you know, oh, here's a punch up joke, add this. And I just learned so much from him, so much from the rest of that cast. Everybody was so funny and everybody cared so much, you know, like everybody wanted it to be great and showed up and gave their all the time. And I feel like, you know, it just, it was one of those things where like, we all had so much fun together. Like we would go to the Money Tree with the whole crew after working from 5 a.m. start on a Monday morning. And then by the time you get to Friday night, it's a Fraturday and you're going till 2 or 3 in the morning. Like, you know, we were young, nobody had kids yet. And everybody was wanting to hang out. And so like, you know that you like each other when you're working like those hours and then everybody's going out afterwards. And it was.
And the guest stars you had, you got to work with, I mean, one of my favorites, Tom Cavanaugh, one of my favorite people, friend of the show.
The
and I know you've worked with, you know, Tom well. Don't
yeah.
You?
Yeah. Fellow Canadian.
Vancouver. Yes.
And just the nicest person on the planet.
Truly.
Truly.
Truly. That's often thrown around.
Yeah,
but
truly.
I think, yeah. Yes. And what was Donald? Did Donald ever, I mean, I know how close Donald and Zach are. And you are still very close with them, right?
Yeah, very, very much so. And I could talk for hours about working with Donald. Like he's one of those people, probably if I think about my life, like the person who shows up and is always, he was just always like, he's just like nice to everyone and in a good mood and just kind of like brings this different dynamic onto a set, right? Like when he's there, he just, you know, we got to really have freedom on Scrubs. And like Bill would say to me like, okay, your line there is I told you so. Instead of saying that, do an I told you so song and dance. So maybe that was like a little bit before I had to do that. And so how I would approach that is I would be like, okay. And I would think about the dance and what it was going to be. And then Donald would come to set. And like one of my favorite days was like he, you know, it said they were running auditions in the show. The janitor and Sam Lloyd, the lawyer.
Oh,
and they were and
Neil
and,
Flynn.
Yes, Neil Flynn and Sam Lloyd and Rob Machio, the Todd. They were running these auditions and everybody's going
Sam
up and auditioning.
Lloyd.
I know, Sam Lloyd, the best.
Oh, so funny.
Oh, great. And so so Donald's bit in this, in the script was, you know, does this, his audition to Poison. And so Donald comes in and he's like, you know, looks at it and you can see that he's looking at it for the first time on the script. He's like, oh, you know, like dance to Poison. And then he pulls out like right there, the best dance
I bet.
That you've ever seen to the point that Fortnite took it and they use it for one of their dances. Like if you Google Donald Faison Fortnite dance Scrubs, like it puts the video game character and Donald doing it side by side.
I'm looking it up.
And you have to watch. It's but like you'll when you watch it, just think like that. He just did that off the top of his head. Like he's just such a naturally gifted performer.
A Fortnite dance. Face on Fortnite dance. Oh my God.
You have to watch.
Oh, I know this. Yes. I've seen this.
You have to watch the one where it puts them side by side.
Oh my God. That's incredible. Meanwhile, you're like thinking and working on
the
thing.
Yeah, like, okay, then what if this and then what if that? And you know, even if I didn't have a lot of time to do it, like I had to like plan it in my head, you know? And,
yeah.
And he's an amazing dancer. And,
he really is just naturally Gifted. Yep. And now you're doing Firefly Lane, second season of Firefly Lane. We have. I'm so sorry, Sarah. I'm keeping you so long. We just have lightning round. I'm gonna try to quickly pivot to. But you're playing Catherine Heigl's best friend. I'm not telling you this. I'm sure you know, you already know this. What is she like to work with? How has that been? What has that experience been like? How does that compare to something like Scrubs?
Firefly Lane was a huge gift because it was one of those jobs where, like, you know, I loved the story. I read the book. I loved the part. And then I ended up loving the people. And we shot it in Vancouver. And it ended up being, you know, you never know when you walk into a situation, obviously, like, what's the feel going to be? What's the vibe going to be?
So first day of school.
And like so quickly, like it was just, we just lucked out. Like it was a group that just showed up and wanted to have a good time. And it was, you know, it's fun because you shoot three decades. So there's two actresses.
Yeah, teens to the 40s.
Totally. So two actresses who were ridiculously talented, Rome Curtis and Ali Scobie, play us in our teens. And then we play ourselves at 20 and 40. And it was so great. And Catherine and I just like, you know, we play best friends, but it's like this friendship where, you know, you're holding each other sobbing and you have to like, I think you could manufacture, obviously that's like our job and you know that you can manufacture if you have to, but we are so lucky that we got along as well as we did. We had such a good time together and
that you could be vulnerable and, for real. I mean, you could really,
you could be vulnerable for real. Like I, you know, this, we did, season one, and then we did two parts of season two. We kind of knew from the beginning that the story was going to be arced out about over about that many episodes because it follows the book. And
this is spoiler alerts.
Stop listening.
Just fast forward a little bit.
So in the book, my character dies of cancer, and so this and the show followed that trajectory. So I kind of knew from the beginning that was going to be the case, and so it was. You know, it's just really like tough, challenging scenes. So to do them with somebody that, you know, we just really got along and
you feel safe with,
feel safe
God,
with,
that's so huge.
Was huge.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the other side of it, like when you get on a job where, you know, we just all like, you know, it was also the second season was coming back from COVID and nobody had seen people in that way, 100 people in a group.
Right.
And so, and we all had worked together for a season before that. So it was like this coming back together that felt like probably even more so because everybody had been so isolated. So you can imagine what, like the first 2 weeks were like.
Bet.
It was like nobody stopped talking.
Yes.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Do, 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 shaboom.
If you're a fan of breathtaking, shocking, and sometimes sinister tales, then check out Audible's new collection of exclusive thrillers.
It features captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances, so you feel like you're in the story.
One title that's next on my list is called Trapdoor by J.P. Pomare. It's about five strangers. You know I love stories about strangers who get held hostage in a cellar that's filling with
water.
And the whole thing's being live streamed by a camera high above reach.
Shorties, listen along with me. As an Audible member, you can get one title a month to keep from their entire catalog.
New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/long or text long to 500-500. That's audible.com/long or text long to 500-500. If you run an e-commerce business, you know the amount of work it takes to produce something great.
So if you want to optimize your workflow and reduce costs, ShipStation is the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates wherever you sell online.
ShipStation's simple dashboard makes managing orders, smooth label printing, reporting, and customer service unbelievably easy.
With shipping configurations automatically applied, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online.
Plus, save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off UPS, DHL Express, and USPS rates. Over 130,000 companies have grown their e-commerce businesses with ShipStation.
ShipStation is the innovative tool that helps turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth.
Go to ShipStation.com and use code LONG to sign up for your free 60-day trial.
That's ShipStation.com, code LONG.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom and up and we'll meet again.
What is your go-to emoji? Sarah Chalk, you want to punctuate a text?
Okay. Oh, I love emojis so much. This is a hard one for my go-to. If you were in my phone.
Oh, you could do a couple. Like some of your favorites.
The answer would be like, you know, there's a lot of hearts. I guess, as you know from my stories, skunking, et cetera, there's a lot of like the one with the hand on the face. Like,
yes, I love that one.
How did this happen?
There are probably a lot with the skunking. I don't think there is a skunk emoji.
There's a skunk emoji.
Oh, there is?
There's a skunk emoji.
Yes. Okay, you must. I should have deferred to you.
Yeah, there's a skunk emoji. I do a lot of snail eyes because anything that's in quotes. One time I was telling a story and I was doing like the quote sign with my fingers and my littlest was like, hey, mama, what's with the snail eyes? And I just
that's funny.
Loved to her that she thought these air quotes was
yes.
Snail eyes. So now anytime I put something
Sarah's
in,
doing like a quote fingers. That does look like snail eyes.
And so for a six-year-old, she was
we'll put this on Instagram.
Yes, totally. This is the snail eyes. So then she says, so you know, mama, it's the snail eyes. So now anytime I use quotes, I use snail eyes. I have a couple of Firefly Lane cast members who we only speak like, most of the text ends up being emojis, but you don't actually put the emoji. You have to write it out long form. So it's like, you know, hand in front of face emoji, party hat emoji, exclamation point, exclamation point. And that came from the fact that I always auto text with dot, 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 exclamation point.
Yeah,
so then now everything is written out long form. So it works in reverse. If your phone actually puts the exclamation point, I have to take that out and
write out.
So it's time consuming, but worth it.
Yeah, that's funny. Who's your first celebrity crush?
First celebrity crush? Great question. I would say probably Ralph Macchio, Karate Kid.
Yes, that is not to belittle your relationship with Ralph Macchio, but that is a pretty common answer.
Oh, is it really?
I hear a lot. There are a lot of Ralph Macchios. Yeah. And I think his was, Alyssa Milano. I'm trying to remember what hers was
because they both been on the show. That definitely makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, Alyssa Milano was also mine. Like, she was unbelievable.
Yes.
She was just amazing.
Yeah. Ralph Macchio. And The Outsiders. I mean, that must have been everyone in The Outsiders.
Everyone in The Outsiders.
What is your least favorite condiment? If it came on a sandwich, you'd have to send it back.
Mayo.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I can't do it.
Okay. So no tartar sauce, no aioli.
In my later years, I've been getting into a good aioli. But as a kid, like mayo on a sandwich, no, that's a bad condiment. Skunk oil, bad condiment. Don't want that on anything.
Oh, for sure. Skunk, yes. That's one of my least favorites, too. Speaking of skunks, what animal would you most want to be reincarnated as? Actually, maybe a skunk. They might have great people stay away from them.
I feel like there's some really good full circle-ness of that. You know, I think I could really get into some serious spraying business. Maybe that would be like therapy for me.
Yes, you finally come to really accept yourself.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe the skunk was just foreshadowing for
my next chapter.
Life.
I mean, my honest feeling would be like a bird. I've always, you know, wanted that, and just like obviously, like you said, eagles. We see a lot of them in BC, and so probably
and a lot of seagulls
a lot of seagulls. I actually got pooped on, and we were at the beach. And I was like, this one area in my leg, like the sunscreen is just not rubbing in. And I'm just rubbing seagull shit into my leg because I thought it was sunscreen and it was not.
Oh, man. You have bad luck with animals.
Hand That's really face funny. Emoji.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And then skunk emoji and then the like smoke emoji and then the squinting face. I'm trying to picture the skunking incident, how you would write that in emojis.
Well, my dad and I went through a phase where we're only texted in emojis. So like
that's
he would just text you the entire text and you had to decipher.
That's funny. What is an acclaimed movie that you're embarrassed to admit you haven't seen? Like people maybe shame you for?
Oh, well, yesterday I was doing press for Firefly and my friends who were doing my hair and makeup who have done for years, they said something about Terminator and I was like, I haven't seen it, and they were pretty shocked.
Oh, yeah.
Does that one? That
the,
was, that
the
was,
sequel?
Haven't seen any Terminator. But in terms an acclaimed movie that I haven't.
No, that works. That makes sense. That's a pretty.
Especially pretty the second. I've seen it.
Yes, weirdly, especially the second one. I feel like the first one, and you can see the second one without seeing the first one. They're both great, but there's something about the second one that is, and it's so like appropriate for our times now. I've been thinking about it a lot lately because it's. It's about the rise of AI and robots and how
right
terrifying that all this is. So maybe you don't want to see it. Maybe it's best not
maybe
to.
Just keep that one as something that I've not seen.
Sit on that. What is the worst injury you've ever gotten, and how did you get it outside of the skunking?
The worst injury. Well, you know, it wasn't a terrible injury, but it was recurring. So it kind of made it terrible. In that I was sitting in class at university at UBC, 500-person lecture hall. My legs were, I had like crossed legs, so my foot fell asleep. I stood up to ask the professor a question.
Oh, no.
Complete foot, rolled my ankle, went to the size of a grapefruit, had it x-rayed. I hadn't finished growing. So two growth plates that hadn't closed, they thought was a hairline fracture, wound up in a plaster cast unnecessarily all the way up past my knee.
Oh, my God.
And then this torn ligament situation, I just had a weak ankle. So once a season on scrubs, I would roll it hiking or stepping on a pine cone. It just kept getting more embarrassing, the reasons, but like stepping out of a car.
Yes, those are embarrassing.
On a sidewalk, and they'd be like, how did you do that? So I'd have to call up Randall Winston, our producer, and be like, Randall, it's Chalky. I can't.
I stepped on a pebble.
There was a little tiny rock.
There was a dead beetle.
Totally. So I have to just like, they'd have to like, I'd get off my crutches and I'd be like standing beside the hospital bed, not able to, you know, in scenes, I couldn't move for that week. Like it was just it was annoying. And it happened about once a year. So this, you know, torn ligament university situation turned into.
Oh my God. Well, at least it's easy to hide. You're in scrubs. It's an easy wardrobe to hide something like that in.
Yeah, totally. It really was.
Imagine.
It was.
Oh, isn't that funny? Just from your leg falling asleep.
Foot fell asleep, rolled, snapped.
Oh my God. Do you drink coffee or tea? And if so, how do you take it?
So I drink matcha every morning.
Yeah. Oh,
and then
showing me.
Like a thick layer of like soy foam or almond milk foam, like about half of it, and the rest hot water. And I drink like hot beverages on a loop all day, to the point where on scrubs, like I would sweat because it's hot, and then you're drinking these scalding beverages. And so the makeup artist would make me put post-it notes on the mirror that would say like 13, and tomorrow she's like, okay, tomorrow try to drink 12. And then the next day she'd be like,
she's trying to wean you off hot drinks.
Yes.
That's funny. Why hot drinks?
I love it. I love it so much when people come over.
Yeah.
I'm happiest if I'm like, I've got a barista station. I dated someone in high school because they were a barista at Starbucks. I just wanted to get behind the counter, put on the apron, and they let me. And they'd be like, someone would order like a mocha, and they'd be like, from behind it, 3 pumps of chocolate. And I'd be like, okay. So,
I get all of that. If you had a sandwich named after you, the Sarah Chalk at a fancy deli, what is on it?
Oh, it's avocado. It's all avocado, probably, like an avocado toast type situation, with like a really fancy olive oil drizzle on top, like avocado, olive oil, maybe some chili flakes. And if I have to put another ingredient on, I would put like a fried egg, but I feel like a bit of hot sauce. That's what's there. Maybe a little bit of cilantro on top.
Are we closing it up or just open faced?
Open faced.
Okay. If you what song would you like played at your funeral?
Oh, that's a really great question. I feel like I'd like some Simon and Garfunkel. You know, it's funny. The first one that comes to my head is actually "Blues Run the Game," but that was actually the song that was used
love
in
that
the funeral
song.
Episode in Firefly. So I don't know if that's
was it?
Like,
what a
I love that song.
What a great song.
And I love I love Simon and Garfunkel's version of it. I love Laura Marling's version of it.
Me too. That's a great idea. What movie makes you laugh the hardest? You just want a guaranteed laugh.
Right now, it's comedy stand-up specials. Like there's so many where I'm just like, just doubled over.
Cable
I feel
guy.
Like anything. Oh yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
That's a great one. Is that yours?
Yeah. The Cable Guy I love.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that one's a definite go-to. I feel like if I want to have a good cry, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Oh, yeah, Jesus.
But I feel like, lately.
Stand-ups.
I just got to see Sarah Silverman. She was incredible.
Toilet roll over or under, do you prefer?
Like over, like sticking out towards you
for
sure. Yeah.
And Sarah, if you would finish the sentence, this is the last thing. Finish the sentence, please. Life is short, so...
travel lighter this trip. And I guess what I mean by that is if I like don't, when I was a kid, I feel like if I was doing a project, I was cutting every page out into the shape of an elephant. So I think that to me, the elephant don't do that.
Yes. Yeah.
Don't
also,
do that.
Also like post skunking, Marie Kondoing, it probably liberated you so much. It's getting you know, simplifying.
Yeah. And then I guess as trite as it is, like my goal all of the time is to be in the present and just live in the moment. And I know that's like probably the most obvious answer, but I feel like right now I'm just trying so hard to do that. And even like with it being Frankie's 7th birthday, like I don't understand the passage of time. And
I bet. And I'm,
it's like whatever I bet. We can do to just like, you know, it's so easy to like life is full and it's busy and it's so easy to be looking 10 steps ahead all the time. And it's why my favorite part of the day is actually reading stories to her, because it's the one time where everything else just actually does kind of stop.
Oh, I bet. I bet. I can't wait. I know. I can imagine. That's why I like the reminder of life is short. That's why we called the show that. It's a dumb pun, but it's also something that I like repeating. You know, it's an idea that I like saying out loud and having in my, because it's like a tiny like subliminal reminder to just be as present as possible and enjoy the time we have. And I've so enjoyed this time. I really have. I appreciate it.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me on. It was so fun.
So that just happened.
That just happened. Breezy and easy and fun.
Very fun.
I, as you could hear, I felt there was a lot of guilt that was starting to flood into my system because she had her daughter's birthday.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't sense that guilt.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, okay. Good.
I didn't sense that. It's also not your fault that it's her daughter's birthday. You didn't know.
That's true. I didn't know. I didn't insist that we do it that day. I start getting self-conscious that I am taking somebody's time away from something that they'd rather be doing. And I know when people do that with me, it's I really struggle with that. I struggle with wanting to be somewhere else. And I mean, I have an appointment after this. I'm going to start struggling in like 15, once we go over.
I didn't sense even a smidgen of her being like, oh, come on, we got to keep this thing going.
I didn't either. Oh, I'm not saying I got it from her. It's my own creation. And it's probably all nonsense, which is what fear and a lot of that stuff is anyway.
Wow. I feel like we just solved a problem. I remember when she took over for Becky on Roseanne. I was young. I was, what, like 10, maybe 10, 11. And I love that show. And I remember thinking, as I still kind of think, it doesn't really make sense to just replace a character that we had gotten to know over the course of a few years with someone who looks virtually nothing like her. I mean, they both had blonde hair.
It was a little jarring. I remember it being a little jarring.
It was jarring, but I think I was thinking back on it, and I remember being kind of bothered by it because I liked that show so much, but I forgave it at a certain point. I think, looking back on it, because I thought Sarah Chalk was really pretty. And I thought, I'm okay with this.
You don't have to forgive the recasting of Becky because you think Sarah Chalk was pretty. Yeah, when you were
I was like, I could deal with this. And I don't think I realized why I could deal with it at the time. But looking back, I really think that was like, the reason. But I still don't know why they didn't make her like a cousin or a foreign exchange student. Or why make her be the same character? It never really made sense to me.
It would have been, but you're right. It would have been much worse if they had replaced her with like Abe Vigoda or, you know.
Or Abe Vigoda type.
Yes.
Another reason to like Canada, they offer shot put and speed walking as sport options in school.
Yeah.
And I thought, I pictured myself speed walking when she was talking about speed walking. And maybe I'm just tooting my own horn, but I really think that, are you picturing speed walking now?
Yes.
I'd be really good at it because I have really good, you know, they have really good hip movement, you know, and I feel like it's something that, because I was never very fast as a runner, but I think I'd be a really fast speed walker. I think you'd be good too.
Do you think you could get over, and I'm talking to myself too, the mental hurdle of the how silly it looks?
I could get over it because when you're doing it competitively, everyone else is doing it too. And there are people there to watch you doing it.
That's different. That's different. But I'm saying to train, you'd have to do it on your own, presumably in like trafficked areas with like other hikers or runners.
Oh, if I was training to do it, I would move to a distant remote land. I would go to Siberia. I wouldn't want anyone to see me train.
Where would you train? I mean, realistically, you'd have to go to the woods or something.
Doesn't it seem like the kind of thing that wouldn't take that long to get better at?
Yes, but I've heard that about bobsledding and lugeing too. Like I thought that about luge, and I talked to somebody who was like, no, it is like technically it's very challenging. It takes like, I thought you just like jumped in a like sled and like made yourself really erect and, you know, kind of lean down.
Well,
you have to
like curling too is the same way. It's that it curling, looks, I heard it is, looks comically easy.
Yeah. But it's like, oh, you're just brushing the
exactly,
floor.
But it's supposed to be very hard.
Yeah.
And the reason the countries that win the curling events are countries that really value curling as a sport. So it's always, isn't it always like smaller countries and less populous countries, because it's like the thing that they focus
They're
on.
They're crazy about it. Yeah. And they're watching on TV. Although speed walking might be different, because it is, I mean, you think about it, running as a thing comes very naturally to humans. You know, so does walking. It's not, that doesn't require, I mean, when you're an infant, it does, you got to train. But like, so if you're able to do those two movements, I don't know, maybe it's...
It's very easy for me to picture you speed walking. It's very easy for me to picture certain people speed walking, and you're one of those people. And I think it's the way, it's the way you dance. It's the way you move.
I'm
very hippie.
I'm like worm-like. I'm fluid.
You're like an invertebrate.
Yes. Yeah, I'm like fluid, I think, is a better... Fluid.
Well, it's a more complimentary way of saying it.
It's, yes, instead of like worm-like.
Let's say fluid and graceful and gorgeous.
Intrepid.
That story about her getting sprayed by the skunk is so disgusting. And it only like further confirmed my feelings about... skunks. There's a skunk like fully living in our yard right now, and it's very white. It's like it's objectively it's quite beautiful. Like if I didn't know, but if I didn't know what skunks were capable of, I would look at it and be like, oh, that's beautiful. It's a beautiful little creature.
That's why they need that defense mechanism. That's why they need that such an obvious like defense, which is to spray. Imagine that. Like, well, how many? There are not many animals that do stuff like that.
I didn't know there were any animals that could do that.
Well,
besides
there's
skunks.
Like the stink bug. There's the spitting cobra. I mean, there's certain things that like spit noxious. There's certain frogs that do it.
But why skunks? Do you know? Do you know the reason that they evolved that?
I don't. Maybe because, like you said, they look like something you want to go after. They're so cute and cuddly looking that they needed to develop. And maybe one skunk. And who was that first skunk?
Or
on
it's
the
harder
evolutionary...
for them to hide because of the white stripe.
Oh, maybe. And then why not just take? Develop. Why not just evolve? It's interesting how evolution happens. In that case, yeah. Why not? Why, if that were the reason, why wouldn't the skunk just evolve to no longer have white? You know, the few black mutant gene skunks. Or that less white skunks would win out, would
That's
live
true.
Longer. But in this case, who was what was the first skunk? What was the skunk that, like, can you imagine? They was probably so ostracized by the other skunks for having this, like, expelling this, like, disgusting vapor.
I also think of Pepe Le Pew a lot, who gives skunks a pretty bad name.
Know. A really problematic name.
But I see that. But
Pepe Le Pew is the most, got to be
so
the most problematic cartoon.
He was, like, the original canceled character. But no, I see this creature every...
Mon chéri, come here. You give... But it was like innocent, but like obviously problematic. He was just peppering them with kisses.
You think it's innocent?
No. I'm saying by that standard.
But I see this. I see the skunk every day, and I've kind of gotten accustomed to seeing it. Whereas in the past, I'd see a skunk usually late at night.
Do you see it every day?
And I see it for like once in a while I'd see a skunk and I'd see it for a split second, it would run away. But this skunk just like hangs out in the yard. So I've gotten so used to seeing it. And Maggie's always like, look, oh, the skunk's back. He's so cute. And my brain will not let me separate what I know of the skunk from how cute it is. It's like, it's like finding out that, like Cindy Crawford is it like litters, you know? It's like finding out something terrible about a beautiful creature. And it would be very hard to find that same creature beautiful anymore once you found out something. And
I've
that's how I feel
that.
About skunks.
Oh, that's interesting. It's funny. I've talked about that recently. I've experienced that after you see somebody behave in a very ugly way, no matter how beautiful looking they are, it's very hard for me to find beauty in them again.
Yeah, it almost changes how they look to you.
It does. It does. That's interesting.
After hearing that conversation, after what happened to Sarah Chalk, I am going to be that much more apprehensive to be around it.
Isn't that crazy?
It's
that
horrible,
she,
horrible.
She knelt into
story.
Her.
Oh,
that's and, so crazy.
And the way that it stunk up all her furniture and
But you know what's, and this is like, I want to take the lesson in this too, because I've experienced it in a few times in my life, and one recently where I had a horrible experience, and I kind of wish now in retrospect it had been a little bit more horrible. Somebody said, it's too long to talk about now, but I wish it had even more horrible details, because it makes for such a good story. And in this case, like, she's somebody I'd like. I don't want bad things to happen to her. I don't want her to tomorrow walk out into her yard and get sprayed in the face again by a skunk. But the fact that it was happening was bringing me so much joy. The fact that she was recounting it was bringing me so much joy that I was glad it in a way that it did happen. I was like, I was grateful.
Well, here's a good example of that. She also talked about getting pooped on by the seagull, and that, which immediately made me think of my friend's mom who got, and this sounds like an urban legend. So my friend's mom was at a minor league baseball game, and she was admiring the clouds or the day or whatever, and opened her mouth, and a seagull pooped in her mouth, and apparently within just a few, I mean, she spit it out. What is that? Within like seconds, within 10 or 15 seconds, she started feeling little like sores developing in her mouth. And the way I picture it is like, like the sound effect that goes with it is like, boop, 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 boop.
Yeah, like a cartoon. These,
like, yeah, like a little cartoon. That's how I'm picturing it.
Yeah.
But that to me is an example of, obviously I'm not happy that happened to that woman, but I've retold that story so many times and it's given me pleasure thinking about it and telling it, and people's reaction to it is like,
yeah,
it's so fun to see that.
Yeah,
that's a story that is awful, but kind of a good story.
I know. And so what do you do with it? It has resulted in, there was a net good result. I mean, just philosophically, honey, that's not philosophy, but philosophically, what does that mean? That there's a net good result, that there's a net positive from like a bad thing that happened.
Well, positive for you. It's like John.
And for the woman, probably. It's probably funny for her to talk about.
Well,
now,
it's like John.
Maybe it's too traumatic.
It's like John Stuart Mill. It's utilitarianism. It's whatever causes the greater good, greatest good for the greatest amount of people.
John Stuart Mill.
So it is philosophy.
Yeah. Hey, okay, cool. Well, see, Mom, we are doing something more elevated.
See, on that note,
I am so surprised I've never had a bird poop in my mouth. I mean,
are you sure you haven't? Is there any way that
I've
has happened
close.
And you haven't known?
Maybe I'm just always looking up with, I often look up with my mouth agape. I like looking at the sky and bird. I like looking at birds.
But you've gotten pooped on your body, right?
Oh, yeah.
By birds?
Oh, yeah, bro. Oh, I've shit all over me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, in fact, right before I did the David Harbour
that's
podcast.
Right. Yeah, I remember that.
It was huge. It must have been like, I don't know what it was. It couldn't have been a pigeon.
See, that's a good example. That just the memory of that, even though I wasn't there, just the memory of hearing that story made me feel joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm glad that happened. I'm sorry that happened, and I'm glad that happened.
Exactly. Or as Sarah Chalk would say, I'm sorry that happened.
Letter time?
Letter time. Letter time. Letter, 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 letter. We haven't been doing it really on the...
Yes, we have.
We have been doing it on Life is Shorter. We
I know. Well, that's one of the hallmarks of hallmarks. I don't know what it is. It's a dumb thing we do. It hasn't elevated to use the word hallmark.
Here we go. From Teresa Kopp, COPP. Subject, forward, help with my daughter. Greetings, Justin and Christian. I imagine writing you will be a long shot, but here it goes. Well, she probably means like us reading it.
Yeah.
I've been listening to your show for just over a year and go back to pick up the older episodes because they're so much fun. Wow, that is really flattering, Teresa, that you do that. That is so nice to hear. I'd like to go back and hear older ones. I wonder how much it's... do you ever do that? Do you ever hear
I haven't, no. Interesting to, I think, like years from now to go back to the early
I'll do it years from now. I'm not going to do it anytime soon because I don't want to get self-conscious by listening to myself. But I listen to them now, so you must have thought you've really improved. I think I have improved a little bit. Okay.
You did a little play.
Okay. Back to Teresa. I started listening because I really love Justin's movies and have fallen in love with Christian now. Thank you, Shorter Pod on Fridays. Christian's giving his receiving a compliment face.
My flattered face.
Yeah.
That's my flattered face.
I can't get enough of you two. Oh, thank you, Teresa. I wonder if our parents would say that. Our parents can get enough of us. But it's not about our parents. It's about receiving a compliment with gratitude and grace. Thank you, Teresa. Anywho, I need some advice. That makes me laugh every time. Do you think Jerry hears that? He must hear these.
He must.
He must know that almost everyone who writes in uses his catchphrase.
He must be quite flattered.
His catch pivot. Anywho, I need some advice. My daughter is 15 and a freshman at our local school. As a freshman, she has leaned in to the experience trying all kinds of new things. That's good. She recently received one of the main roles in the spring production of Clue. She's having a blast. That's great.
You know, Clue is one of those movies that I'm a little embarrassed to admit that I haven't seen.
Me too. You don't both have to be embarrassed to admit you haven't seen Clue.
I didn't know it was a play.
Well, I think it was a play before it was a movie. Isn't Agatha Christie?
I didn't know that.
See, I could be wrong. I might be wrong. Clue. I've seen bits and pieces of it. I know, what's his name?
Tim Curry is in it.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
It's funny. I just saw a movie where I thought Tim Roth should be playing this part, but it was Tim Blake Nelson.
They occupy similar spaces, don't they?
But I feel like they cast the wrong Tim, and I like them both. So if either of them want to be on the show, any Tim, we're open to any Tims. Okay, so back to Teresa. I'm glad her daughter's doing Clue. She's having a blast. So much that she says she has been, quote, bitten by the acting bug. We haven't even gotten to a fully realized play yet. I think she has found her people in the theater. So brave. What can we do as parents to be supportive if she decides she wants to pursue acting? We live in ruralish Midwest, about 3 hours from a major city. Huh. Well, okay. Let's look at this. She's 15. She's having a great time. I don't think there's anything you need to do yet. I don't think you need to think about it outside of just experiencing her joy in finding something. Now, if it's something that persists and it's really got to be, and this is what, there's a great book you can get her. Michael Caine wrote a book, Acting on Film. And he starts the book by saying, if you can imagine, I can't do a Michael Caine, really. I would or try. I can't do it. I don't know. He says, if you can imagine yourself doing anything else, you should probably not pursue acting. Meaning, it is such a crapshoot. It is the odds of, you know, making enough money and succeeding in that way are really slim. But if you love it, you love it, and you got to pursue it. But I would say at 15, it's just let her enjoy it. Let her enjoy what it is now, which is, you know, it is what she's getting from it now. It doesn't have to be anything more.
Yeah,
I
was just going to say, Teresa said earlier that she is proud that her daughter is trying new things and is very open.
Yeah.
So I would say, if anything, I would just encourage her to keep trying new things and keep staying open. And it sounds like she's on the right path.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether she wants to pursue a life in the arts or not.
Wherever that lands, I think is a positive thing.
I think if she does want to pursue that, I think the way to pursue it, I'm guessing now and in the future, is going to be very different from when you were pursuing it.
It's true.
I think a big part of that is the internet and social media. And there are ways to showcase yourself as an artist now.
That's true.
On YouTube and TikTok and all those things
that
didn't exist when you were coming up. So I would say it's probably not that important to be near a city anymore.
Probably not. I wouldn't know how to your point, I wouldn't really know how to give that kind of advice. I just worked on a series, Goosebumps, coming in October, with a guy named Miles McKenna. And Miles is a YouTuber. And his background, everyone came from different backgrounds. You can still do it traditionally by doing theater. It sounds like she loves theater. I would say you know, just encourage that. And she can get involved. The great thing about theater is it's always going on. If when school ends, there's a community theater, I'm sure, nearby. Or maybe not. I mean, I don't know how rural it is, but I imagine there's community theater everywhere in the summertime.
Or start your own theater program with your friends.
Yes.
Like I did
like
when
Christian
I was
did.
That age.
That's right. That's right. That was a really brave thing to do. But it sounds like she is brave and she's doing these things. It's good to hear. Lastly, says Teresa, my favorite part of the letter is the would you rather. Yes. Would you rather speak Would you rather speak pirate all the time or speak as they did in medieval times all the time? Oh, huh. Oh, see, I thought it was going to be a very different type of, this is a good one. This is a great one. So I'm not judging this, but it would also be interesting to examine if you would speak pirate all the time or not speak, you know, if that was the only way you could speak.
I think then you choose pirate.
You speak pirate, of course.
With this question, I would say it's easier to speak in pirate, because
it is.
Medieval times, it was a different language, so it would either be like Middle English, right?
Yeah,
or Latin.
Methinks the lady.
Exactly. So you'd have to use an entirely different vernacular.
That's all I could do. You just do ships.
Whereas with pirate, I think you can like sneak it in a lot easier.
Yeah.
So you could be
you
like
pepper in a few yards.
Yeah, you'd be like, yeah, I'm going to the mall. Yar. I mean, it'd be weird, but you could kind of swallow the yars.
I've got a podcast to record with my brother, says I. Yarg.
That would be tough.
I certainly hope it doesn't go longer than it was scheduled for.
You could do that in a more subtle way. So you could say, all right, I wish it didn't go as long as it was scheduled for, says I.
I don't think that counts. I think you got to really lean into the pirate. Yeah, you could just talk like that then. I mean, you could talk like a shantyman, like a seaman.
I would have to pick the pirate option because I don't have the brain power to speak in Old English, English.
Have you ever been to one of those Renaissance fairs?
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking of the cable guy.
Yeah, yes. And there's always a point when you're talking to them. I love getting to this point where, because they're very committed for them. And many of them are committed. But then when you talk to them long enough, they're like, they kind of drop it a little bit. They drop them when you're like, so how many of these do you go to? They're like, for me, I have been to not once, not twice, but thrice have I come to this here gathering of noblemen. And I'm like, so how do you get here? I drive. I just drive. I take the 101. I take the 101 to the 134.
Or it's like Janine Garofalo and Cable Guy when she's like, dude,
I got a lot of tables.
I got a lot of tables.
Yeah. Yeah. might I order a frothy brew for me and me mate?
We have traveled a fortnight.
I love it's that so movie. Good. Oh God. Okay. So thank you, Teresa. That is a really good question. I don't know why I tried to improve upon it with something that wasn't as good. Ego, perhaps. Anyway, that was a great one. And I love that. It's going to bring me so much joy imagining Christian speaking like a pirate, just doing. How would you say you're going to? Oh, by the way, that chili, that we should do a cooking segment of it. That chili was a huge hit with. It made me so happy with Kate's parents.
What chili?
The Mexican chili.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
They liked it.
Yeah. Huge hit.
It's pretty great.
Hal was like, "Oh, I'm not going to eat," and then he like tasted some of Patty's, and then he went and got himself like a big bowl. It made me so happy to hear. It's really.
Yeah, and healthy.
Healthy,
relatively.
A little gassy.
It produces
some, but you know, the best chilies do, I imagine. Okay, back to Teresa. She says, "I am loving the new Friday format. I love hearing your banter." Bye, Teresa. Justin should get that one. Yeah.
Oh, her name.
I got that one. Thank you so much, Teresa. That was what a great letter. I mean, I just love that your daughter's found that and. I love that. Would you rather? You know, it had it all. It had a lot of.
It's a really good letter. And if anyone else would like to write into the show, our email address is lifeisshort@wondery.com. And thank you to our wonderful guest, Sarah Chalk. Check out her Netflix hit show, Firefly Lane. And we will talk to you on Friday in a few days.
Yes. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Teresa. Thank you, Sarah. And thank you to, do we have a Tim to thank? Oh, Christian. He's
thank
pointing
you.
To
You're
himself.
Welcome. You're welcome. Yes.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Do-do-do-do-do-shaboom.
Life is Short is hosted by me, Justin Long, and it is co-hosted and produced by you,
Christian Long.
It's also produced by Megan Monaco and Jennifer Sulkis. Senior producer is Michelle
Mish.
Lands, audio engineer
Sergio Enriquez.
We also have two executive producers,
Dave Easton and Marshall Louis.
There's one more person or entity that we have to thank for paying the bills.
Wondery.
Just, oh, it's recording. I was just carrying around leftovers, to-go bag from Din Tai Fung, one of my favorites, dumplings, and some broccoli for my beloved Catherine. And I was asking, before I went to Nordstrom, I'm at the Arcadia Mall, and I asked the lady working at Nordstrom's where the Roxy collection was so I could do a fun video for Kate, for the launch of a Roxy line. And as I was talking to her, I realized that all around me, there was at least a 4 or 5 foot perimeter that smelled exactly like farts. And she got kind of a funny, I could tell she smelled, of course she smelled it. She wasn't like nasally impaired that I could tell. And, made me laugh. I got into the car with the bag, the same bag, and it just engulfed the car. Anywho, I thought that was funny.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Life is Short ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus and Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
Be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. Everyone picks sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell, la, la, la. Where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.